Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. Sade and young Rush are seated on the davenport with sections of the newspaper, while Vic, established at the library table, stares blankly at a sheet of paper and toys with the fountain pen. At length, he glances at his wife, remarking,
"Doggone it.
What's the trouble?"
"I'm not getting anywhere."
"Can't think of anything to say?"
"Well, there isn't much day. You can say the whole thing in one sentence."
"Or how long's your article supposed to be?"
1,000 words.
"Is that quite a bit?"
"Sure."
"How much space does 1,000 words fill up?"
"Oh, a page maybe. That is, a page the size they have in the Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly."
"Hmm."
"Well, I thought this would be easy. Had the idea I could dash it right off fast as I could write."
"I remember you writing magazine articles before, Gov, and getting stuck."
"Yeah, that's true, but on technical subjects. This piece is supposed to be breezy and informal. And this is a trick to knocking out any kind of a magazine article."
"Well, what did the Kitchenware Dealer Quarterly fella say in their letter?"
"You want to go get it, Pete?"
"In your coat pocket?"
"Yeah, my coat's hanging over the banister in the hallway."
"Oh.
I figured I could whip out 1,000-word piece in 30 minutes. Can't even hit on a satisfactory sentence to start off with."
H.K. Fleber of Grovelman, South Carolina, has got a tooth in his mouth from every state in the Union."
"When you say that, you shut your bolt. That's the whole idea of the article. I don't want to say all I have to say in the very first sentence." "I made one stab here. I start out with the same thing the fella started out with in that piece about me."
"Over at plant number 14, they've got a big slob named B.R. Gook?"
"Yeah." "But it's not original. I don't like to submit anything I haven't thought up myself." Darn H.K. Fleber and his teeth from every state in the Union."
"That hits me kind of silly, Vic."
"How you mean?"
"Oh, fella having a tooth in his mouth from every state in the Union."
"It may be silly, but it's also unusual. The editor of the Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly feels it's material for a bang-up feature story."
"Huh.
Here I go.
Read it out loud once."
"Okay."
"Listen, Sade."
"Dear Mr. Gook, we have recently received information that one of Consolidated Kitchenware's employees in Grovelman, South Carolina, has a tooth in his head from every state in the Union. From an editorial standpoint, this strikes us as excellent material for a breezy, informal, and colorful sketch for our magazine. We understand that you are a very close friend of Mr. Fleber's, and that you also occasionally turn your pen to literary efforts. We wondered if you would be interested in writing an article for us. Hoping to hear from you shortly, we remain yours truly, T.J. Gix and G. Tillman Feeb."
"Get the idea?"
"Huh?"
"I thought it'd be easy as pie. I can't even get one sentence down."
"H.K. Fleber's got a tooth in his mouth from every state in the Union?"
"Yeah."
"How come?"
"Yeah, how come? I'd like to hear that explained myself."
"Well, as a young man, H.K. Fleber had very poor teeth. He was constantly going to the dentist. At that time, he had a job where he did considerable traveling. Well, he had a tooth pulled in Nebraska, which was replaced with a false one. And the same thing happened in Idaho, Ohio, Texas, Arkansas, Kentucky, New York, and so on."
"Finally ended up with teeth from everywhere,
Yeah.
"Well, then there is some sense to it. I thought at first it was some wild stunt where he had teeth pulled on purpose just so he could say he had false teeth from every state in the Union."
"I think he did have to have a few good teeth extracted in order to boast every state. Let's see, I believe he went to Wyoming, New Hampshire, Michigan, and Minnesota to fill out his quota."
"Huh.
He's got a false tooth in his head he had installed in Tennessee, huh, Gov?"
"Yeah."
"Indiana, Florida, and Delaware?"
"Uh-huh."
"Arizona, North Dakota, and Illinois?"
"Yeah."
"Iowa, West Virginia, Alabama, California, New Mexico?"
"All the states."
"Nevada, Montana, Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, Colorado, Utah, Pennsylvania?"
"I said all the states. You needn't name them all over." "How do I begin this thing?"
"Well, Mr. H.K. Fleber is a nice gentleman that lives in Grovelman, South Carolina. And he had very poor teeth when he was a young man, and the dentist in Nebraska pulled one and put in a..."
"No, it's got to start it out snappy."
"Hmm?"
Stimulate the reader's interest right off the bat, see? Rush, step to the bookcase and get me the last issue of the Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly. I'll see how other authors start out their articles. I'd really like to make a success of this. I'd like to submit something creditable. Does a man in my position a lot of good to have signed articles in the Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly? If I could submit a piece the editors like, they'd probably invite me to send in other efforts. A popular demand for my stuff might develop. Take the case of J. Richard Sickbrain of Plant 18. J. Richard Sickbrain wrote poetry. Just fooled around with it, don't you know? Today, J. Richard Sickbrain gets paid 75 cents for every stanza he turns out. Why, I read where he was asked to write a...
I just thought of something.
Did you get my Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly?
Here it is. I just thought of something.
Now, tell me later.
It's connected with H.K. Fleber and all them teeth he's got.
Well?
There's 48 states in the Union.
Well, that's a bright new thought.
Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, New York,
New Hampshire. You're going to name them all over?
Will you admit there's 48 states in the Union?
Gladly.
And you say H.K. Fleber's got a tooth in his mouth from every state?
Yeah.
In the human mouth, Gov.
Yeah?
In the human mouth, Gov.
Yes, in the human mouth, Gov, what?
There's only 32 teeth.
Who said so?
Well, everybody knows that. I learned it in the 7th grade at Edwards School.
That's right, Vic. 32.
Well, what the heck here?
If H.K. Fleber's got 48 teeth, he must have an awful big mouth.
An awful, awful big mouth.
32 from 48 leaves 16. He's got 16 more teeth than anybody else.
Must be jammed in together like sardines.
Well, be that as it may, I'm determined to have a try at this.
Well, people reading the Kitchenware Dealer's Quarterly will think your piece is a fake, Vic. How could a fella have a tooth in his head from every state in the United States when there's 48 states in the United States and human beings only have 32 teeth?
I don't know and I don't care. Here's a fella starts out his article... The moon was bright that night in June as I.O. Flubber proposed marriage to Miss Opal Wheeler of the maintenance department.
The moon was bright that night in June as H.K. Fleber...
opened his mouth and showed everybody 9 bushels of teeth.
Yeah.
Here's a fellow starts out his article, We Americans are mighty happy and mighty proud in the fact that...
H.K. Fleber's got 48 teeth. Rush, who are the fellows that wrote your father that letter?
T.J. Gix and G. Tillman Feeb.
Well, they can't be very bright either.
No.
You'd think editors of Monsters Big magazines would appreciate people only got 32 teeth.
How'd this be for an opening sentence? Teeth may come and teeth may go, but H.K. Fleber of Gravelman, South Carolina, has the last laugh.
Fine.
You got punch?
Sure.
Or this... Teeth may come and teeth may go, but ladies and gentlemen, take off your hat to H.K. Fleber of Gravelman, South Carolina.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, take off your hat to H.K. Fleber of Gravelman, South Carolina.
Good.
Like it, huh?
Yeah.
If you just wanted to fill up space, Gov, you could say H.K. Fleber had a false tooth put in his mouth while visiting in Maine. H.K. Fleber had a false tooth put in his mouth while visiting in Ohio. H.K. Fleber had a false tooth put in his mouth while visiting in Utah. H.K. Fleber had a false tooth put in his mouth while visiting in Minnesota. H.K. Fleber had a false tooth put in his mouth while visiting in Alabama. H.K. Fleber had a false
tooth... I think that will do, Rich. We've had enough side-splitting wit and humor. I'd like to have it quiet for a while now, if you people don't mind. Perhaps you and your mother would like to stroll down to the picture show.
Sure.
I will gladly supply the money for your tickets.
How about it, ma'am?
All right. What's on?
Gloria Golden.
Oh, really?
Gloria Golden and Four-Fisted Frank Fuddleman and I Shall Love Thee Evermore, Lieutenant Corporal Glush.
Sure, I'd just soon go. You're going to stay home, huh?
Yeah, and write my magazine article.
Well, good luck with it.
Teeth may come and teeth may go, but ladies and gentlemen, take off your hat to H.K. Fleber, Gravelman, South Carolina.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 7:30 o'clock as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook comfortably settled for a quiet evening at home. Vic is seated at the library table playing solitaire, while his wife, occupying the hither corner of the Davenport, glances through the newspaper. And after a time, she says,
"Who pays for this baboon?"
"Beg pardon?"
"Do we pay for this baboon?"
"What baboon, my dear?"
"Didn't you see what tonight's paper stated about him buying a new baboon for Miller Park?"
"Must have missed that."
"A.D. Hoggle, custodian of the Miller Park Zoo, has announced the purchase of a new baboon. The animal, known as Lester, is 3 years old. Mr. Hoggle has arranged for..." and so on and so forth. "Is it us taxpayers that has to shell out spondulics for baboons?" "Nobody asked me if I wanted a baboon."
"Me either."
"I got two baboons out there already. Why do they have to have more? Seems to me two baboons is enough baboons." "What do baboons cost?"
"Oh, $10,000.
"No, but I bet they cost a good deal. What was it I read just the other day about wild animals? Something about their poor investment because they don't live very long."
"Talk about your wild animals." "Talk about your wild animals. Here's one now." "Wild animal?"
"Aye.
Alice Simmons itched Bodo a while ago."
"What?"
"Bluetooth Johnson ratchet sickle Veeping Looney. But he said you could apple stone a grump."
"What?"
"Okay."
"You didn't stay long at Leland Richards." "Who's got the say-so whether Miller Park Zoo buys baboons or not?"
"I don't know anything about it, say. I think they have what they call a park board of directors. These directors get together and vote on different proposals. Probably somebody heard about a good baboon for sale cheap and put it before the board of directors.
You know where my bank book is, ma'am? Oh, you talking, Gus?"
"Not now."
"What you want with your bank book?"
"Just interested in its whereabouts is all."
"Well, I expect it's where it generally is."
"Second pigeonhole in the writing desk part of the bookcase?" Fine. How are you people this evening?"
"Pretty much the same as when you saw us a half hour ago."
"You didn't stay long at Leland's."
"No, I didn't. We chatted a while, and then I thought I'd better trot along home and get started on a new Third Lieutenant Stanley book Russell Duncan lent me." "Yes, that's the way it goes." "The way it goes." "Oh, by the way, ma'am, the reason I
inquired..." "Bank book."
"Beg pardon?"
"You're transparent as a horseradish. Come dashing in here yelling, 'Where's my bank book? Where's my bank book?' And full of axle grease and peach butter till who laid the chunks. You think you fooled somebody?"
"I am completely in the dark."
"No, I bet you are. All right, what new stunt you got up your sleeve? What do you want to spend money for now?"
"I merely inquired about the whereabouts of my bank book so I'd be sure I could put my hands on it first thing in the morning."
"Going to buy a baboon, George?"
"I plan to make a wonderful investment."
"Are you sure you want to waste your breath, Willie? We've been through this bank book business so many, many times before. So many, many times. Have you ever been allowed to draw a red dime out of the bank?"
"I might remind various individuals that the money is my money."
"Uh-huh. Remind away."
"And see where I get, huh?"
"And see where you get."
"People forget that a common, ordinary American citizen has certain rights and privileges."
"Go ahead and tell your story. What is it this trip? We'll have to listen sooner or later, so get started and have it over with. Is it like your father says, you want to buy a baboon?"
"I have the opportunity to purchase a lifetime pass for the Bijou Talking Picture Theater."
"Really?"
"A pass which will entitle me to take in the show any time of the day or night I feel like taking in the show." "A pass which my friends and relations can use." "A lifetime pass. A pass that's good until the day I die."
"Who owns this priceless document, Seed Corn?"
"Leland Richards."
"Where'd you get it?"
"From his Uncle Hartley. His Uncle Hartley is an electrician and recently installed new wiring all through the Bijou. Mr. Milton Ferberman, the manager of the Bijou, given this lifetime pass as part payment for his work. Uncle Hartley gave it to Leland. Leland is hard up for ready cash. He's willing to make a great sacrifice. He's willing to sell the lifetime pass."
"How much?"
$50.
"Oh, my. I always thought monstrous big grown-up high school students were supposed to have a nickel's worth of common sense."
"Ma'am, look a minute. $50 sounds like a lot. I know that. I grant you that. But think. Think just one second. I take in the Bijou Talking Picture Theater twice a week, regular as a clock. How much is that? Admission is a quarter and 2 quarters is 50 cents. 50 cents a week I spend. All right, how many weeks in a year? 52. What's 52 times 50 cents? 52 times 50 cents?
You might as well save your breath, Willie, because you've got about as much chance drawing a big chunk of money out of that bank as you have a cent in your underwear to Detroit, Michigan, Parcel Post.
People
is right. Goodness. Guess I'm as bad as my little boy. Sounded like one of them arguments Mr. Gumpox and the Brickmush Man get into out in the alley by the garbage box.
Will you listen 0.9 seconds?
Do we have to listen?
I was under the impression civilization hadn't sunk so low a common, ordinary American citizen couldn't.
We'll listen. Get it off your chest. Of course, you appreciate right off the bat it's just so much good breath gone up the flue. Remind me tomorrow, Vic, to send our little boy downtown so he can draw $50 out of the bank in order to buy a ticket for the picture show.
Okay.
I go to the Bijou twice a week. Cost 50 cents to do that. 52 weeks in a year. 52 times 50 cents is $26. Over half the lifetime pass paid for right there. In 2 years, I would ordinarily spend $52. I've checked and double-checked these figures, and they're absolutely correct. All right. After 2 years' time, the pass will have paid for itself, plus $2 profit. Jump down my collar if I'm wrong, Gov.
Okay.
Human beings have a life expectancy of 70 years.
70 years.
Exactly. All right, then. I'm 14 years old. 14 from 70 is 56. Chances are I can continue taking in the picture show twice a week for the next 56 years. If I would ordinarily spend $26 a year going to the Bijou, in 56 years I would ordinarily spend... Well, I haven't multiplied that out. Just a second. You people go on with your conversation.
Okay.
You people just go on with your conversation.
Okay.
I'll have this multiplied out in no time.
Okay.
Just continue on with your conversation.
Sure thing. Hello, Sadie.
Hello.
You're looking well.
Thanks.
Care to buy a baboon?
How do children get like this? If it was little Charlie Husher up at the corner come home with such wild stunts, I could understand. But we got an enormous, great, big high school scholar. Beats me. When Bess and I were small, I don't remember kids working themselves up to a fever pitch over
all right, people.
Some wild nonsense that anybody in their right
all
mind
right, people.
Would...
All right, people. Here's the answer. Hold on to your hat.
Shoot.
It costs me $26 a year to take in the Bijou Picture Show twice a week. If I take in the Bijou Picture Show twice a week for the next 56 years and pay cash, it would cost me...
Yeah?
It would cost me...
Cost you what?
$1,456.
Oh, go on.
Check my figures.
It's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing, but absolutely true.
My...
$1,456. I'll ask you an easy question in arithmetic, Gov.
Go ahead.
When you subtract 50 from 1,456, what do you get?
1,406.
If I purchase this lifetime pass from Leland Richards, I make a clean profit of $1,406.
Makes my head swim.
Yes, it does.
Boy.
Mom, I believe you said my bank book was in the bookcase.
Mm-hmm.
Second pigeonhole in the writing desk part.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Not at all.
I'll dig it out first thing in the morning.
I'd like to see you once.
I don't believe I understand, Mom.
Oh, you probably do.
No, I assure you I don't. Surely you can't still be of the opinion a wonderful investment like this is...
Oh, go away.
Beg pardon?
Go away. Skedaddle. Skidoo.
We are alone.
Yeah.
Our little son tiptoes away.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a pathetic figure.
Don't he, though?
I suppose when he arrives upstairs, he'll throw himself on the bed and cry his little heart out.
I doubt it.
Hmm.
Vic?
Huh?
Do us taxpayers have to shell out money for this baboon they're buying for Miller Park Zoo?
Sure.
Well, nobody asked me if I wanted a baboon.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.